Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arscast, right here on arseblog.oleole.com. It's a kind of a last-minute Arscast, ad hoc, because I wasn't planning on doing one, because there really hasn't been a lot to Arscast about. A little bit of transfer speculation here and there, but really nothing that could fill more than a few minutes. However, yesterday I got the chance to speak to a real, proper Arsenal legend. And that kind of chance doesn't come along too often, so who am I to turn it down? I am nobody to turn it down. That's who. Ray Parlour. Told you it was a real legend. Ray Parlour will be along in a few moments' time to talk about Arsenal last season, next season, to talk about his life after football, what it was like to leave Arsenal and go to Borough, his media work, and of course, the London Masters six-a-side tournament that he'll be taking part in next weekend. So that's all coming along in just a few moments' time. Hope we find you well. The summer's treating you okay. I'm sitting here with a bottle of beer. Samuel Adams, Boston Lager. He's Tony Adams' great-grandfather, you know that, Samuel Adams. Yes, the link, the family link, is rather tenuous, I'll admit, but it's true, it exists. I read it on Wikipedia, and we all know Wikipedia never lies. Not much going on, is there, really? Thomas Vermaelen, the Ajax captain, he's providing most of the transfer speculation. A deal has been agreed, and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I'm taking it very easy this summer. I'm not getting stressed about anything. If a guy turns up in a red and white shirt, then awesome. But until he does, I'm not going to count any chickens or, you know, sit waiting with bated breath for an announcement to come up on Arsenal.com, because we've been down this road many times before. What year is it? 2009. Okay, so this is the seventh summer of Arseblog. That sounds like it should be something terribly ominous, doesn't it? The seventh summer of Arseblog. But it is the seventh summer, and we've been through it all. Players leaving, players going. He's going to sign tomorrow. He's having a medical. So this summer is like Zen summer to me. Of course, by the end of August, I'll be getting as frantic as anyone else. But until then, it's only the start of June. I'm not going to get worried now. Arsene Wenger isn't even around. He's over in the Far East, in Malaysia and China, promoting football and football academies and meeting all kinds of people, even some Arse bloggers, getting his picture taken. It's a bit like Gulliver in Lilliput, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Manchester United have accepted £80 million for Cristiano Ronaldo, and who can blame them? They would be the biggest fools on the planet if they didn't accept £80 million, because £80 million is an absolutely ridiculous amount of money to pay for any footballer. No footballer is worth that. Really not. When you step back and think about how much money that is, it is utterly, utterly obscene. We hear Platini talking all the time about how money in the English game is ruining everything and blah, 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 blah. I haven't heard Platini say anything about Madrid spending £56 million on Kaká and then another £80 million on Cristiano Ronaldo. The problem is, of course, is that it distorts the transfer market. That people start looking at deals in relation to those. And they look at their players and they go, well, you know, okay, well, maybe he's only a third as good as Cristiano Ronaldo. So I'll ask for a third of the price. But nobody's got the kind of money to throw around that Madrid are throwing around. We're in the middle of a recession. Football clubs are counting their pennies the same way you, I, and the guy down the street are. apart from multi-billionaires, and they don't count. They're not real people. But everyone is watching what they spend, apart from Real Madrid, who are just throwing money around. It's like they've got a money-printing machine. And they're just going, how much? Yeah. And you wouldn't mind, only that, you know, they're talking about, okay, we'll get Ronaldo, and then we'll get, we've got Kaká, and then we'll go get Xabi Alonso. That's only 25 million euros. You know, that's small change. And then Ribery. And then we'll get, you know, this guy and that guy. And that, and you're thinking, holy fucking shit, what's going on? The Real Madrid are the only ones with this kind of money. But other clubs will see that. And they will think that they can get that kind of money from everyone else. And it makes, I think it's going to make life quite difficult for other clubs to make decent signings. Particularly in a timely fashion. Because that's the way you'd want your signings to be done, no? You want to get them into the team and pre-seasoned and integrated and have their little initiation rituals and all that done before the season starts. But with Madrid throwing all this money around, I don't know. It's just not right, is it? £80 million. There are government departments here in Ireland that could do with £80 million at the moment, that could run for a year on £80 million. It would make a difference to countless lives. Yet Madrid are going to pay £80 million for one footballer and then pay him, I don't know, what, £200,000 a week? Mental. Anyway, we appear to have been somewhat sidetracked by the discussion of enormous cunts like Real Madrid and Cristiano Ronaldo. So to make things better, let's go to the very opposite of that. A man who played a total of 466 games for Arsenal. His Arsenal career spanned from 1992 to 2004. He won the league three times, three FA Cups, a League Cup, a European Cup Winners' Cup. A guy who gave absolutely everything, 100% every single time he pulled on an Arsenal shirt. And he scored some goals. He'll admit himself he didn't score too many, but when he did, damn, they were good. Valencia, the FA Cup final. That hat-trick against, was it Werder Bremen? Fantastic. A true, proper, 100% Arsenal legend. I'm very proud to welcome Ray Parler to the Arsecast. Hi, Ray.
How you doing? You all right, Andy?
I'm very good, thanks very much. I suppose good. We could start talking about Arsenal, and obviously last season, on the back of the previous season when we came very close to winning the league.
Yep.
This season we got to two semi-finals, and obviously there's a lot of disappointment around. Some people might say, you know, you learn a lot from losing semi-finals, and it helps build you as a player. Is there the danger, though, maybe that you get a bit demoralised by coming so close all the time and not quite getting over the finishing line?
Yeah, you know, it is a bit demoralising, you know, getting to a semi-final at Wembley, Chelsea. I was over there, watched the game. I thought, you know, it was there for the taking. On the day, Chelsea got the goals when it mattered. And it was disappointing without doubt. But, you know, I look at the league form this year, and Arsene Wenger will be disappointed when they finish, no doubt about it. I think he'd be happy in the end because he got the fourth place. It was at one stage, Aston Villa were going very strong, and it was a battle for that. So, but you know, no doubt about it, he'd be disappointed to come fourth this season, last season. You know, he expects high standards in his players, and you know, but it is a tough league. People don't forget that. You know, you've got the likes of Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool, all got stronger. Aston Villa are getting stronger. And next season might be no easier because you've got the likes of Manchester City now buying players, and you know they're really having a go. The likes of Tottenham might step up again. They had a bad start last season. You know, teams like that. So it's not an easy league now. You know, going back to when I was winning it in 98-99, it was usually only Arsenal, Manchester United. So I think the competition has really gone up a level, if you like. And there's a lot more teams competing for the championship, so it is a lot more difficult to win it. But you know, Arsene Wenger, I'm sure next season he will look at it and say, well, where do we need to strengthen, because they have got some excellent players, we all know that. But for me, it's going to be down the spine of the team. You know, centre half, I know they're linked to this Ajax player, I don't know if they're bought him yet. Centre half, central midfield for me is vital. A good holding player in there to just let the reins of Fabregas a little bit more, knowing he's got the insurance behind him, and maybe a forward as well, because I think, you know, up front, you know, they've had a few problems this year of scoring goals here and there, and another forward might, you know, put the competition a little bit more for places up front. I think, you know, Ruzicki will be fit for next season, which would be a big boost, and Eduardo. But I'm sure Arsene Wenger's going to go away this summer. Look at who's available, who he can get. He knows every player in Europe, and see if he can strengthen the squad.
What about there's rumours, obviously, about players leaving the club as well. And Adi Baiora sort of finished the season under a cloud. And Gallas had the whole issue with the captaincy last season, and then spent the final parts of it out injured. If you had the choice, would you keep those guys, or has maybe the relationship, particularly with Adi Baiora, going to be?
If someone wants to leave, then let him go. I would let Adi Baiora go if he wanted to leave. Why would you want to keep him? You don't want to play there. You don't want to play for your club. I know there's talk a lot. You know, last season there was a lot of talk. He signed his new contract. He hasn't really done it this season for me. You know, there's times in games where he needed to work a little bit harder as a lone striker, which he didn't. So, you know, maybe time it is to leave. But Arsene Wenger will know best. He watches it week in, week out. He watches training week in, day in, day out. He knows the players who are really, you know, 100% behind Arsenal and want to be here. And you know, the players who maybe might need a move, you know. So, you know, never. His judgment is always correct a lot of the time. So I'm sure he knows what he wants to do with players and what players he wants to bring in. And until we know and something happens, we will never know. But, you know, I think you've got to be 100% behind your team. As a player, you know, you want to be hungry to win in games, and ready to put in everything it takes to win that game. And that's what sort of players you want in your team, without doubt.
Yeah, well, I mean, people talk, I think, even now, about how we miss somebody like yourself in the team, you know, somebody that really puts in all that effort. There's a lot of pressure on Arsene Wenger, or certainly more pressure now on him than there ever has been in his time as Arsenal manager. People talk about 4 years without a trophy. Can you understand why fans are a little impatient now with the club, and maybe some of the decisions that he's made? Because we talk about bringing in central midfield players, yet, you know, last summer we let Flamini go, Gilberto went, Diarra went in January, and without replacing them, you know, some of the decisions have been hard for fans to understand, Gilberto, I think.
Well, Gilberto was getting a little bit older, you know, he couldn't get around the pitch as he used to. He's 32 years old, and I think he's a young man's sport now. I think you've got to be very fit, you've got to be mobile in midfield, central midfield, so that, you know, That was something to do with his age, maybe, which he's very good at judging. You know, he looks look at the likes of Vieira when he left. You know, he's not done nothing since. You look at Flamini. Flamini, it was his decision. He couldn't do nothing about that in the end. I know he maybe could have signed him 2 years earlier, but, you know, he wasn't in the team at the time. Flamini said he wants to leave. He wants to go on the Bosman ruling, which clubs can't do nothing about now. That's the modern game. But, you know, if we say we could have replaced them, that was probably one issue he could have done. But he's given Danielson, Diaby, an opportunity maybe to push their way in. Maybe, you know, Danielson's played a lot of games this year, but I can see him quite similar to Fabregas. He's a little bit more of an attacking player than the holding midfielder who's going to win the ball back and be efficient in there. Win the ball back, pass it to a red shirt, simple as that. But, you know, I really find it astonishing that the fans get on Arsene Wenger's back, you know, because when he first turned up in 97, you know, the club was going downhill. I'm telling you now, I was there, and it was, you know, some poor performances, poor players, and he turned the club absolutely, you know, round, if you like, on his own, because, you know, he brought in some flair players which the Arsenal fans wanted to see. You can see the type of football Arsene Wenger wanted to play. He brought in great players like Nicholas Anelka, and he for $500,000, sold him for $23.5 million, bringing money into the club. He bought a new training ground. He bought Thierry Henry with that money. You know, I could sit here all day singing his praises. I know the fans get a little bit uptight, but I think it's a lot harder to win trophies now than it was when we was winning trophies. And I think all we did as players set the bar too high. You know, we set the bar because we was winning most years, getting a trophy somewhere, you know, a couple of doubles, and people want that every year. But sometimes, you know, you've got to look at it and say, well, we have to fight for this league. It's the best league in the world by a mile, and the competition is probably the highest as well. If you look around, usually it's only Barcelona or Real Madrid. In England, you've got Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal. Next year, maybe Man City challenging. You know, so it's a lot more difficult to win leagues now. And people got to see that and say, well, you know, it is more difficult. But I can see fans' point of view as well. They want success. They want the bragging rights to say we won a championship. But it's a lot harder now than it was maybe 10 years ago.
Mm. And where do you go after going a season unbeaten?
I know, exactly. You know, unbeaten season, you know, what do you do then, you know?
Yeah.
He set some unbelievable records, really. You know, straight away, his first season double. And then we win another double. Winning the league at White Hart Lane for Arsenal Sports is fantastic. Winning the league at Old Trafford is fantastic. And then another double, winning cup finals. You know, he set the bar so high, you know, and the standards have gone up for Arsenal supporters. But, you know, going unbeaten for the season, you know, so he's a fantastic manager. And I really find, who would replace him? You know, I would ask any Arsenal fan who's going to want to get rid of Arsene Wenger, who would replace him? You give me three names who could replace him and do a real good job. There wouldn't be many who could replace him. Maybe one or two you could say, well, we could do a similar job, but... You know, that's the problem you've got. If you get rid of managers, who'd you bring in to replace people like that?
And you would be confident that Arsenal can win things again under Arsene Wenger?
I'm sure, yeah. I think if Arsene Wenger thinks he's took this club as far as he can go, then he would be honest with people. But he can see potential in his young kids. Maybe he needs, don't get me wrong, maybe he needs three or four players. Maybe he's seeing that now that he does. Mm. You know, last year he was trying to rely on the youngsters coming through. He thought he had a big enough squad, maybe. Maybe he didn't. Now, I'm sure this season, next season, he will look at that and say, well, we do need three players this time. And if he does get the three white players, with Rizicki coming back, full-fit Rizicki, Eduardo coming back, they might be challenging next year. Who knows?
All right. Well, we'll leave Arsenal and talk about you for a little bit, because I think people will be interested to know about what you've been doing since you left Arsenal. I'll start with it. What was it like... when having been at Arsenal for so long, what was it like to leave?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Leave and go to another club. And was there a big kind of a culture shock between the way things were done at Arsenal and the way they were done at Borough?
Yeah, it was. It's probably the most difficult decision I've ever made in my life, you know, to leave a club I've been for 20 years, you know. I grew up as a 12-year-old at Arsenal and, you know, it was in my blood, really, to play. And to make your debut when you've worked so hard to get there, you know, and I had so much success there and played with some fantastic players. And as a footballer growing up, you know, that's all you aim to do. And it was a big, big decision for me. I decided to go to Middlesbrough. You know, I was getting a lot older. My legs were getting a little bit slower, if you like. You know, my knees were a little bit of a problem. Arsene Wenger knew that. And, you know, I needed a bit of security after what happened in my divorce. So I said, look, I want to play football now, you know. I don't want to be sitting on the bench. I'm 32 years old, 31, 32. You know, you want to be playing. But, you know, it was one of the decisions when I thought, well, do I go to Middlesbrough, get out of the area and start again, and you know you're going to be playing every week, or do I sit at Arsenal, which was easy. It's easy to sit on Arsenal and sit on the bench or play 25 games a season or whatever. So I decided to have a change, and, you know, at the time my personal life weren't the best. So I just said, look, let's get out of the area for a short period. And but it was difficult. Arsene Wenger's great doing it, you know. I said to him, you know, I can have another year on my contract, but Arsenal didn't act that way. And Dennis Bergkamp was only getting a year at the time, so I couldn't question that at all.
Yeah.
In the end, I thought, if I get a bad injury and I'm out next season, I'm in limbo, really. So I took a decision to leave, and it was a very, very difficult decision, trust me. And, you know, maybe I look back and say, well, I wish I never left, but I mean, you can't look like that. So you always got to look for the future. I made that decision at the time. Whether it was right or wrong at the time, I don't know. You never know that. But, you know, all I can say is that it was a wonderful, wonderful time I had at Arsenal, and I always remember that. You know, 20 years is a long time, so it's a massive, massive wrench when you go to another club. But, you know, Middlesbrough was a great little club as well, don't get me wrong. I went up there, and the North East was great. I really enjoyed living up there. And so it was an experience, and, you know, I would never regret anything I've done in my life. So, you know, that was the thing I decided to do, and that's what I did. Simple as that.
What about I play on a very amateur level, but my week revolves around playing my game of football. Having done it all your life and trained every day and played every day, how much do you miss the actual competitiveness, the games, the getting kitted up on a Saturday, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, you miss that. That's the main thing. The main thing you miss is the games on Saturday and the banter with the lads during the week.
Yeah.
You know, you go into, it's like being, I could say it's like being on a building site, really. You've got 20 lads in the dressing room, all mucking about, having a laugh. And you miss that, you know, miss that day, that morning bit. You miss the games, obviously, the buzz of playing. You train all week to play a game. You know, it's no good training 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and then you don't play on a Saturday. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to play football as well. But you miss the buzz for me, you know, putting on that Arsenal shirt. When I was there, I couldn't wait to get out on Highbury and the crowd and the atmosphere, and it was fantastic. You can't get a better buzz anywhere than doing that, and, you know, scoring goals. And, you know, I didn't score that many, but to be involved in successful teams and scoring at vital times, and, you know, you can't get. I'm still looking for the buzz to be that, but I can't find it anywhere. That's what it's all about, football. That's what you want to be involved in. But day to day now, you know, I keep fit still. I play charity matches. I play. You know, I'm playing in obviously the Masters next week. I played yesterday for Arsenal community, and so I do kick around and still keep fit and try and keep fit. You know, because that's been my life, keeping fit. So you might. It's not worth knocking it all on the head now, so I try and keep fit during the week.
What about I know a lot of ex pros go into coaching. Do you see yourself doing any of that? I mean, you look at someone like Steve Bold, who you played with for many years,
Steve Bold,
and what a great
brilliant.
Job
yeah,
he's doing
well.
with the youths.
Again, it's another avenue I haven't looked at yet. But maybe one day I'll say I want to be back on that pitch and doing playing football. I don't know. At the moment, what I'm doing a lot of media stuff and. Punditry, which I'm enjoying. It's really good fun. I was over Wembley last night doing an England game, and it was good. It's great to be involved in football. So, you know, you're talking about it instead of doing it now, which is not a problem. So, you know, at the moment, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But there might be one day I wake up and say, I don't like it anymore. I want to put my boots back on and go and do coaching, simple as that. And until that day comes, I couldn't tell you what I'm going to do.
What's it like out in that world of media and punditry? Because there must be countless other guys. There must be loads of them who want to do, you know, what you're doing, for example, and what other guys are doing on the TV stations. Is it competitive?
It is.
How does it work?
Yeah, you got to be better than others. That's what you got to do, and try and once you've done it once and you do a good performance, and they ask you back. Simple as that. And again, it's the standards, I suppose. You've got to try and keep your standards high. But there is a lot of ex-players who want to do it. But, you know, that's the market. You go, you do as much as you can. And you just hope you do well and people ask you back, simple as that. There's no contract or... So you're a little bit off the cuff with your diary. But it's, I enjoy it, you know. You do a little bit of homework before the game on the teams and that. And I didn't do much homework last night, to be fair, on Andorra. Right? So I didn't know none of them, but... It's one of them. You do a bit of homework, but it's good fun. You get a great seat as well in the stadium. It's fantastic.
A few free drinks, no doubt, as well.
No, a few drinks, free dinner, that's great.
It's all right. That makes it all worthwhile then.
Yeah, exactly.
Next weekend, you're taking part in the London Masters. Part of the Arsenal team. Some great guys playing with you. Nigel Winterburn, Michael Thomas as well. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, brilliant. Can't wait. You know, these events are really good, you know. It's still very competitive as well. You know, you find all London derbies, obviously. You've always got that little bit of spark still when you're playing against a London team, if you've been in a London team all your life. And the crowd, you come out in force, is usually a really good crowd there. And it's, to be fair, the legs don't go as fast like on the players, but the brain is still there sometimes. So you can see the people who use their brain a little bit more, but can't run around as much. But, you know, hopefully Arsenal will do a lot better than we have done in the last few years. We drew 0-0 last year, like the George Brown era.
All right.
So he wasn't too good. But this year, hopefully we can get a few goals and see what happens. But it's a great night out for the children. You know, the adults come over, all the kids, and you know, they cheer us on, and you know, it's a good night, and it's great for the lads who retired and want to put the Arsenal shirt back on, which is great, and go out and put a good performance in, hopefully, and play well.
If you could, final question, if you could pick one player that you used to play with who's retired now to play in the Arsenal Masters team this or next weekend, who would you pick? Who could make the difference to you?
I would definitely pick Dennis Bergkamp. He would be the man who could really put him up front. He's got that little bit of a brain on him, especially in small spaces and what it is. I'd probably say Dennis Bergkamp at the moment. Or a striker, because we're short on strikers. So Ian Wright would be great in this short competition, but he's got a bad ankle, so he couldn't play.
Bergkamp and Wright would probably avoid the 0-0 scoreline.
No, we definitely would be 0-0 then. We have Bergkamp and Wright, so no chance.
All right, listen, we better leave it there. The London Masters takes place next weekend. You can tune into the website for ticket details and that. Ray Parler, thanks very much for taking the time.
No problem, Andy. Nice speaking to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ray Parler on the Arsecast. Awesome. I have to say, I get a bit nervous, you know, because I knew it was coming, the interview, because we've been trying to arrange it and what have you. But I got the phone call yesterday to say, can you do it in an hour? And it was like, I'm still in town, I've got to get a bus. And anyway, but you get the phone number and you're sitting there and you're writing your questions, and half the questions you don't end up asking because conversation goes a different way. But you're thinking, I'm ringing Ray Parler. He's like, this is Ray Parler. I watched him play so many. I got a bit nervous. And then I rang, and the recording wouldn't work. It wouldn't work on the computer, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. But Ray, being the gentleman that he was, allowed me time to fix it, and I thank him very much indeed for taking the time to talk to Arseblog. Hopefully we can talk to him again. And thanks also to the people from the London Masters, which takes place next Saturday. You'll find ticket details on the website. We've done a competition all this week as well to give away tickets to go and see it. Arsenal, the team, is going to include Michael Thomas, David Hillier, Nigel Winterburn. So some big names in that Arsenal team, pulling on the Arsenal shirt yet again to play the likes of Spurs and West Ham and Fulham and Queen's Park Rangers. And hopefully, as Ray says, they can score a few goals this year. So thank you again, Ray Parler. Thank you to the London Masters. And whew, that was it. Yeah, good, no? All right, well, it's not all good news this week, unfortunately. It's become apparent that Amaury Bischoff is on his way to Paris Saint-Germain. Could this be the last we hear from Amaury Bischoff, PI? Might be, you know.
I was doing the crossword when the guy walked into the office. 7 down, 5 letters, useless clown. I was filling it in, EBOU, and he walks in. Who the hell are you, I said. You know who I am, he said. No, mister, I don't know who you are. Let me tell you something. I never forget faces. And you got the kind of face I'd never forget, even if I was the kind of guy that forgot faces. Maybe you need to look a little bit closer, he said. All right, I said, looking a little bit closer. And then I realized I did know this face. It was my face. Wait a minute, I said. How can you have my face? It's attached to the top of my chin and the bottom of my forehead. Because I am you, he said. But how can that be, I said. Don't you get it, he said. Nuh-uh, I said. Let me explain it to you, he said. In this world, you're everyone and no one.
So there you go. And not much else to talk about, really. On a day when Cristiano Ronaldo has turned his back on Manchester United and followed the filthy lucre, the filthy, dirty lira. There are no more liras. But you know what I mean. Arsenal Cesc Fabregas has reaffirmed his commitment to the club. He says, of course I see my future at Arsenal. I have a very long contract with the club. I would never have signed that if I did not think I was capable of making it. The boss knows that I really want to stay here. What you cannot stop is what people say about you. The press can write or say whatever they want. I do not get involved at all. Since I am 18, they've been saying that, but I'm still here. And it's true, he is. And what an awesome young man he is. He really is. He is the most awesome young man called Cesc that I have ever encountered in my life. So there you go. Hopefully this won't be the end of the Arscast summer specials. We're doing our best, but I'm doing my best to try and bring you some other stuff in the next couple of weeks and to try and fill the preseason. As I said before, that if there's no news or if it's a quiet week, I'm not gonna do an Arscast. But if something special comes up, then there will be. Or if there's news or something that merits a great deal of reaction, like the sale of Addy Bayor to someone or the purchase of someone from someone else, then we'll be arse-casting and discussing all those kind of things. But while it's all very quiet, it'll stay quiet. So fingers crossed we can get all the good stuff sorted out, some more summer specials. You have yourselves a good time in the meantime. Stay out of the sun. Make sure you put the aloe vera on, put the sun cream on. Your nose will get burnt, you see, if you don't. And then it peels at untimely moments. Like if you're at a wedding and you go to the bathroom and you realize there's a big patch of your skin coming on, you're like, and you're sort of like a snake shedding your skin in the bathroom of a hotel. Not that I've encountered too many snakes in the bathrooms of hotels, but all right, have a good one. Talk to you soon, and talk to you, of course, all weekend and all next week and the week after and the week after. At infinitum on the blog. Cheers, bye-bye.
Hello everyone, it's a party to say goodbye to Amaury Bischoff. It's me, Sylvester. Of course you know it's me, Sylvester, because I have such a massive great big head. People think there is an eclipse every time I walk into the garden. And you can also see me, you know, my face look like Sylvester, because, you know, we play the football together every day. Anyway, I've come to say goodbye to Bischoff. You know, we have such a good relationship. He is kind of French, but now he's Portuguese. He's Portu-French or Frenchiguese, I don't know, but I love him. I've taken him under my wing, which isn't exactly where I'd like to take him under, but never mind. Where is he? No, he's gone already. But I didn't get to say goodbye to him. This is terrible. Where has he gone? Do you know which direction he went in? Over there. Follow what? Follow the music? What do you mean?
There's a voice. Keeps on calling me.
Amaury!
Down the road. That's where I'll always
Where have you gone?
Every stop I make a new friend.
Like me?
Can't stay for long. Just turn around.
Oh, you're gone.
Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down.
Tomorrow?
Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
But you could just stay.
So if you wanna join me for a while,
I do.
Just grab your hat, we'll travel like that's most.
I can't find my hat.
Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
Come. Amaury Bischoff Pierre, I love you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.